are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Spurs right here on the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Jeff Garcia, with News 4 San Antonio and Fox29SanAntonio.com. Glad you are back. I know. It's been a little erratic this week with Locked On Spurs. And one show one day, one show not. No, okay, we're going to try to get back on track here. Just life, man. Sometimes life gets in the way and you got to plow forward and take care of those around you. But hey, let's talk about what happened last night. Spurs Rockets. It was the first game where the Spurs are going to face the Houston Rockets without James Harden after that big blockbuster trade. And you would think that they would pick up a win, especially with no more Harden and no more Wall and Wall being out and the depleted team. Yeah, Spurs lost. We're going to dive into what happened versus Houston. Also look ahead at Houston again, because yeah, they got that whole home series thing going, so they'll play the Houston Rockets tomorrow at the AT&T Center. And then our guest is going to, well, he's going to defend Jakob Poeltl. And we're going to get right to it right now here on Locked On Spurs.
I already hear the tweets.
All right. Well, Ty, hold on to those thoughts real fast, because before we begin, hey, quickly, this episode of Locked On Spurs is brought to you by CBD MD. Look, it's the new year. You want to get things right. Want to set the tone for the new year. And 2021 has, well, let's just say you want to hope that 2021 is a lot better than 2020. So CBD MD, they're here to give you support you need to conquer your New Year's resolutions and make this year your best one. So what you want to do right now is simply this. Go to CBDMD.com. Use a promo code NBA for 20% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD. They got a spray. They got this new bag on valve spray technology. It can relieve pain pretty much instantly and comfortably at any angle, upside down. Yeah, it has it all. So you want to go to CBDMD.com, promo code NBA for 20% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD. So, Ty,
Hold on. Before you finish, I think I need to go what is it called again?
CBDMD.
I'm definitely going to go there tonight. I need something.
Yeah, I think you need some CBDMD right now, especially in the final segment. So if you have some right now, just set it aside right now, Ty, and we'll use it
in
a while.
It's right over there. Don't worry.
All right. So, you know, Ty, look, coming into that game last night versus Houston, the Spurs going home. They're kind of coming off a successful road trip. They're looking good, firing all cylinders. They're playing a Rockets team that's severely depleted. The players from the blockbuster trades, Nets, Rockets, still not in uniform. John Wall is not playing, and yeah, they wet the bed. Spurs lose to the Rockets, dare I say, surprisingly, 109-105. It was a close game for the most part, but at the end, the Spurs could not get it done. Ty, when you look back at that game, what happened?
All right, let's first start off with inconsistency. This team was pretty inconsistent throughout this game. You go from the first quarter of getting outscored 30-27. Then you actually tied the Houston, keeping them down 18-18. Then you actually go on a run in the third quarter. I think the rotations were solid to start that third quarter. We saw them go on runs, making highlight reel plays. And then in the fourth quarter, the Spurs just dropped the ball. And I think the big reason for this inconsistency was for two reasons. The rotations were fairly poor. I know that the rotations for this team have kind of been spotty in terms of who are the playing. And I think this starting lineup is a big culprit of this. LaMarcus Aldridge, my word, this man did not have a good game in any way and showed how big of a liability he is on the floor. Overall, the team shot 29% from deep, and yeah. LaMarcus Aldridge went 1-for-6 from deep. That's... Yeah. I know we want him to stretch his game, but you cannot be doing that. If it's not going for you, go back to your tried and true move of going for the mid-range.
Yeah, mid-range.
And someone said this on Twitter to me, and I thought they said perfectly that whenever he's rocking the mid-range or he's rocking the mid-range on a pick and pop, he does it really splendidly, and he is making shots go down. Anything else really brings the offense to a halt. The defense is just piss poor, if I can say that. But if you look at what Christian Wood did at LMA, it was not good. The game, Christian Wood went 4-for-4, and LMA was just a defensive liability out there. I know people like to kind of get on Jakob Poeltl for his offense, but his defense was excellent that night. And once he came into the game, he made Christian Wood miss. And Christian Wood, at least for the next two baskets, didn't miss because of Jakob Poeltl being out there on defense. So LaMarcus Aldridge is a major culprit of this and contributing to the inconsistencies on both ends of the floor and contributing to the poor shooting the team overall had on this game and resulting in a
right.
4-point loss.
Yeah, you look at that game overall, and look, I get LMA had a horrible shooting night, especially from deep, 1-for-6, but he wasn't alone. There were other players that simply just couldn't find their touch. DeRozan, 0-for-2 from the 3-point line. You know, he went for the win towards that fourth quarter. The end of the fourth quarter didn't go in at all. It kind of circled out of the rim. 5-for-14 on the night. DeJounte Murray, 5-for-12, 0-for-2 from the 3-point line. If your name was not Keldon Johnson, Lonnie Walker, and to a degree, Devin Vassell, then, you know, everybody else did not have a good game. Rudy Gay off the bench, 5 points in 17 minutes. And Patty Mills has been arguably one of the more consistent players of the roster to start this young season. 27 minutes off the bench, 7 points. All in all, it was just a bad shooting night.
So, yeah, it was just a bad shooting night. I mean, Patty Mills, I give him a lot more leeway because he's been fairly consistent throughout this season. He's going to have bad shooting nights. That's just kind
and
of
a given. And this was his only second game where he scored under 10 points of the season.
Yeah, and so I'm not going to be upset by him. Yeah, would I like to see a little bit less dribbling from him? Yeah, but I will say that Houston defense was very gritty out there and was not making anything easy. I noticed a lot of hesitations beyond the line for the Spurs team. I saw a lot of hesitations of driving inside, outside of Keldon Johnson and DeJounte Murray. I know DeJounte had a struggling shooting night, but he did a lot more on the floor as well. But the guys that were shooting lights out just were not out there, and that was unfortunate because you have guys that you would like to rely on. DeRozan, LaMarcus Aldridge, Rudy Gay, Patty Mills. These are guys that tended to shoot pretty well. LaMarcus Aldridge has just been having a really weird season overall. DeRozan is coming back after being with his father, and so I will say his mind was probably not there, even though he did some really good art. But he kind of pulled the same DeRozan that we know, that he doesn't really do much in the first quarter or even the first half, but then becomes out in the fourth quarter, which he did. He scored 10 of his points in the fourth quarter out of his 13. But it really does hurt to have Patty Mills go 1-for-7 from deep.
Yeah.
Rudy Gay not go 2-for-7 on the floor as a whole. It does hurt whenever you do not have your scores out there. And I think I do put some blame on Pop on this one, where you have a guy like Lonnie Walker who was going off 4-for-7 from deep. He was actually having a really good shooting night, and you don't keep him out there. You put Patty Mills, who's been cold, especially next to LaMarcus Aldridge, who's been cold himself. I can understand not putting Devin Vassell out there just because it's a rookie and he's not going to have the experience to really make the reads that you need down the stretch. But maybe you do need to throw him out there, throw him to the Wolves. But
right,
not putting. But the big question for me is like not putting Lonnie Walker out there.
Well, the big question for me is during the game was just effort, just the little things. Look, I know we're complaining about just 10 turnovers for the game, but that is uncharacteristic for the Spurs this season. It's not uncommon for them to just have 4 turnovers for an entire game. So you saw them playing lackadaisical and just not there with the right mindset. So let's hear what Pop had to say about the Spurs.
And we had 4 or 5 guys who were out to lunch.
There it is. Simple as that. That's what Pop said
Wait, how many words was that?
Let's hear it again. Let's find out.
Let's count it.
And we had 4 or 5 guys who were out to lunch.
We had four or five guys out to lunch. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. The mindset wasn't there. And you can see it down the stretch. Just, you know, broken plays, no effort. Houston just looked completely just ready to prove that they are a good team, even without a James Harden or a John Wall or Oladipo that's incoming. But
I will say, real quick,
before I let you go, Will.
Yeah.
The Spurs knew this. Pre-game, they knew that Houston was a wounded animal, or a team with pride on the line. When James Harden comes out and says, this team is not good as constructed. So they were aware of that, and they still didn't bring the effort, Ty.
Yeah, I'm going to give this Houston team some credit. They were really nitty gritty out there. They were very physical with the Spurs last night. I know they only had nine guys within the rotation, and some people are saying they only had nine guys. Well, our rotation is nine guys. It's not anything that different. But for they had a fire underneath their butt at that for this game, because the words that James Harden had against them, that's not just going to go swimming past them. That's going to really burn them. That's really going to light a fire behind them and say, we got to show this MF-er that we can better than them. And I was going to say that what James Harden said, that's not going to be ignored by only their locker room, but locker rooms across the league. That James Harden did some of the most disrespectful thing that you could do to your own teammates. And so for that to happen, these guys were pissed off, and they had a lot of energy they wanted to take out.
That they did, and they took it out on the Spurs. Look, I was a little bit stunned that the Spurs came out flat in that fourth quarter. They were up, I want to guess, under 5 points going into the fourth quarter, and the momentum was clearly on their side. They rallied from a deficit. Yeah, Houston had a lead, I think a double-figure lead on the Spurs at one point tie. And they rallied from that. Good. Was not too surprising. The Spurs do that this season. They rally, and they fight off rallies from other teams. They came back from an 11-point deficit, so kudos to them. But here's the thing, though. They couldn't maintain that. And I think that is just simply that there's their inexperience how to play every game. And a part of me is, I was upset that they lost to Houston. But at the same time, I'm glad they did so they can learn from these mistakes. And Ty, that's exactly what we're going to be talking about in the next segment here. When we get back, we're going to be talking about the young guys in the loss. How can they learn from this loss? And then, of course, look ahead at the next game, Spurs-Rockets. Tomorrow. They get to do this all over again, Ty. Yay! And this time they might have a little bit more bodies by the name of John Wall, Victor Oladipo, maybe somebody else.
I got some words for that.
Yeah. What are those words?
Oh, I thought we were going commercial. Sorry. I was going to say that this team has actually shown that they can improve game to game, especially going back and forth against the same opponent. The obvious example being the Lakers, where after each game, that team got better and better and better, and to the point that they got to win against one of the best teams in the league. Now they're going up against a Rocket team. They knew what they didn't do right, which was a very cold shooting night. They saw what didn't work against this nitty-gritty team that honestly they had no tape on, because we have not seen a Rockets team in over half a decade that hasn't had James Harden on it. So there was kind of an unknown for this Rockets team in the first place. But now you know how this team kind of operates, especially without him. You know what was working for you guys and what definitely was not working for you guys. Yep. I'm not sure the rotation is going to change, but this team has shown that they have a good ability of learning from mistakes and then applying new tricks, I would say, to the game plan that worked for them in the end. So I think that you could see a win, even if they do have John Wall or additional bodies out there. I think that you can see the Spurs team actually get a win just from improving.
Yeah. And it's going to be a great game. We'll talk about that more in just a few minutes. But before we do that, hey, there's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. From NFL games to NBA games, the current sports that are in action right now, don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Use that promo code LOCKEDON to get yourself a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sports books expert. And if you happen to be on social media like Twitter, follow them at betonline_AG to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Once again, that promo code is locked on for your sign up bonus. And the hashtag they use is BetOnline. We are back, and I'm joined by Ty Yeager. He is a contributor at the Spurs Zone, and hopefully you'll be contributing more soon. Ty, we miss you at the Spurs Zone.
I have a lot going on, man. There's a lot. I took a winter semester class for marketing, and I was thinking, oh, this should be easy. No, it was not. In my 4 years of college, I've never taken a winter or like summer semester class, and I realized why I didn't take them, because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work in the span of 2 weeks. So I've been.
I will tell you this though, Ty. You will miss it. You will actually want to go back to that as you get older and you leave
college. Are you sure? Are you really sure that I'm going to miss it?
Yes, you are. You're going to miss
it. My last year of university has been under COVID, so I'm not really...
But hey, speaking of different times, the Spurs will get another crack and another chance at more than likely a different team as they face Houston again tomorrow. Well, yeah, tomorrow night. Out in San Antonio. Now, you kind of teased a little bit right before the break about what you expect from the Spurs team, you know, basically learning. The key word there you said is just learning, that they're going to learn from this mistake. But I look at the Spurs team and I see it beyond that. I've asked a lot of the veterans about the young guys in the Zoom conferences that we have with the team. And one word they always use with me is competitors. They say these young guys are competitors. Now, to a degree, they were against Houston in round one yesterday, Lonnie and Keldon. But now they need more help, you know, and you're looking at a Houston team that is going to come fired up again. They're going to feel rejuvenated. They're going to think that, hey, you know, we took out San Antonio once without these other guys. Hey, look who's now joining the fight with us versus San Antonio. Ty, what is something that you saw from the Spurs in game one of this series versus Houston that they can take into game two tomorrow night against Houston that worked?
Utilize the young guys. Oh my. So we saw the competitors in them in that third quarter where Keldon and DeJounte and Lonnie just all went off against that team. In the second half alone, between those three, those guys shot 67% from the field, 14 for 21. And you need to get those guys cooking, because once those guys are cooking, those guys are doing a lot of stuff for your team. DeJounte, I know he wasn't doing great scoring, but he only had 2 points at the half, but he decided to go off in that second half. He ended up the game with 10 points, but he had 5 steals, 8 rebounds, and 7 assists, and only 2 turnovers, which one happened in the first where he kind of got the ball, but was in a bad placement where he essentially was leaning barely out of inbounds, and he had to kind of throw the ball away. And then the second one was just kind of a tip pass off that became a backcourt violation that was almost saved by Keldon if it wasn't for the tip of his shoe. But I thought those three guys really showed off and showed what they could do. Lonnie Walker was shooting tremendously on a weird thumb injury that he had coming into the game that we saw him wrapped on his non-shooting hand. Keldon threw down a slammer that we all saw. And then again, DeJounte, seven assists. That's not easy. And then 5 steals. Dude could have easily had a quadruple double if he kept going. So you guys really need to get those guys cooking and let them work. I think the other situation is, I know Jakob Poeltl is an offensive liability in terms of not scoring. He does a lot more that we'll talk about later. But
yes,
he is a much better defender than LMA ever was on this court tonight or last night. So you need to have him out there against Christian Wood. I thought he did a good job against Christian Wood and was limiting him. And that going into the second half, I believe in the third quarter, Christian Wood only had 4 points. And that was because Jakob Poeltl was his main defender. So you need to utilize Jakob Poeltl on Christian Wood specifically and not giving LaMarcus Aldridge 30 minutes out there, because LaMarcus Aldridge was a defensive liability.
For me, though, it's simple. Again, just bring that mindset. Bring that killer instinct mindset you had in the road trip and apply it to Houston tomorrow night in San Antonio. And I think Keldon Johnson had the right approach. And this is what amazed me yesterday, speaking with Keldon in the Zoom call, that how much he's so focused on what's ahead versus what's in the past. So let's hear from Keldon what he had to say.
Not worried about personnel. It's things that we got to fix. And we're going to go out there, and whatever file they put out there, we're going to go and get out. I feel like it's, everybody makes mistakes throughout the game, and I was just limiting those mistakes and making corrections, and I think we'd be right there.
Limiting mistakes, making corrections. Pretty much what you said, Ty.
Yeah, it's, again, learn from the mistakes, which this team has actually shown that they've done a really good job with. I think you'll get an even. I think you'll get a Barrett DeRozan that is checked in, is ready to go, isn't coming off a flight. I would assume the same day.
Yeah.
Today.
And I'm glad you glad you brought that up, because as much as he was, you know, kind of getting the business from the fan base about, oh no, where's DeRozan? I mean, he was. I think he was trending for the wrong reasons on social media. You know, the whole, oh look, there's DeMar DeRozan in the fourth quarter again. You know, didn't make the shot. The guy's having personal issues with his dad. And of course, maybe his mindset is not going to be in the right place.
And honestly, he had probably with the best look that you could get, and just had a bad roll on that final shot. Yeah, and honestly, so looking at those last two possessions, Kelvin did a great job defensively and got the stop by becoming a brick wall. And I got to commend him for that, because Keldon Johnson, you would not have that chance if it wasn't for Keldon Johnson becoming a wall and making whoever was on him completely miss the backboard as a whole.
Yeah.
And then DeRozan, he comes off a it kind of a poorly fit LMA screen. I think he comes off the wrong side. So LMA comes up with the screen, but I'm not sure if he rolled to the wrong side or not, because PJ Tucker was not stopped at all to come on DeRozan. DeRozan does a nice little spin move to give a nice fadeaway. That's probably one of his signature moves. Gets the spacing that he needs. Gets the ball on the bucket to where you need it, and just gets a poor roll off the rim. It was probably one of the best opportunities that DeRozan could have found himself with the situation. Just had a bad roll. Could have tied the game. I know it's if would should have, could have, would have, all that kind of stuff, but I can't blame DeRozan at all for what he did. Because again, we know that this is kind of his game. He lets the young guys show off for most of the game, and he kind of saves all his energy to really outperform everyone in that fourth quarter. And that's what he did. We need to look at the shot chart for the fourth quarter, but he went off in the fourth quarter at least. 4-for-8 from DeRozan from the fourth quarter, 50%, of course. So it wasn't perfect, but he was making some shots that should not have gotten in. So, but to blame DeRozan for this loss is completely ignorant and does not really reflect what he did. Also, add on, 7 assists still from him. Yeah. A steal and a block and only one turnover and one personal foul. Yeah, DeRozan is not going to be blamed for this loss. I know everyone is going to hurdle, but again, look at LaMarcus Aldridge.
Hey, well, if you're getting ready for that next Houston game, let me give you a little tip here. Betting on the Spurs doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. So get your daily picks, your quick hitting advice to make every single smartest move and wagers that you can possibly think of. Subscribe to Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts. And Ty, yeah, I look at this game versus Houston, and it's a chance for redemption. But at the same time, I still go back to what I said to start the show. Not surprised. If this is a development season that everybody thinks, this kind of loss to Houston happens. It's going to happen. And guess what, Ty? I guarantee you right now, it's going to happen again. They're going to have a game where they just look lost, where the rotations are off, where the players are not in it, where it's all lopsided, and Keldon's doing all the heavy lifting while nobody else is stepping up. This is going to happen. And quite frankly, Ty, this happens to every team in the league.
It's only game 12, y'all. It's a 72-game season. Calm down. Please calm down, everyone.
They just came off a road trip where they beat two of the top teams in the West in their
gym. And it's like...
And this happens. It happens. Look, Spurs fans, you should be happy about this too, that these young guys learned. If you're looking, if you're team development, then you got it. They got a firsthand taste of what it takes to play four quarters of basketball and every single second. If your team developed them, so maybe you can even flip them down the road, well, guess what? This loss is going to help them learn to be better NBA players, where if you're on that whole team of developing them and trading them for better assets, then, hey, you got your wish too. So
go ahead. There's people saying, trade DeRozan. Like, DeRozan's been the MVP of this team. What are you saying?
Yeah, he's not number 82 on the ESPN ranking.
He's not 82 on the – and you're trying to trade him all of a sudden? I know. I get frustrated.
And here's the thing. We're going to get Ty even more frustrated in the final segment.
Oh, no. Please don't do this to me.
Yeah, it's going to happen,
Ty. Don't do this to me.
When we get back, we're going to be talking with Ty, because he was very vocal in the defense of Jakob Poeltl. Now, Jakob Poeltl has – kind of been the whipping boy to start the season. But Ty has been very vocal about his defense of Jakob Poeltl, and he's going to do that. Well, this floor is going to be all his in just a few seconds. So before we do that, I want to talk to you about Built Bar, which is the best tasting protein bar ever. 18 amazing flavors, 6 new flavors, and yes, I finally got another box that came in yesterday. I had a few of them. They have the German chocolate
flavor. You want to share any with me?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I may send you some. I probably will make a little goodie bag.
Because you talk about these and they sound so good, yet I'm over here stuck with just eating a. I'll need Built Bars.
I'll put it in the mail as soon as this weekend. From carrot cake to apple almond crisp, they got a bunch of delicious Built Bars for you to enjoy. And they're healthy. They're covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew. And they're great for the keto diet, looking to maintain or lose weight, or just want to have a healthy snack instead of diving into some stuff you don't want to eat. It'd be bad.
Yeah, I need to stop eating the fatties. I need more of that.
All right, so what you want to do right now is go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON to get yourself 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. We are back, and I'm joined by Ty Yeager. He is a contributor at the Spurs Zone. And you can follow him on Twitter at TheTyYeager. He has great video clips for those who cannot watch Spurs on TV. So he's a must follow right now. So Ty, as we said right before the break, Poeltl has been on the receiving end of pretty much Spurs fan base's hate. Yeah, it's gotten to that point where Spurs fans just can't understand what's going on with him. Spurs fans had high hopes for him. And so far, at least statistically, Ty, he hasn't panned out. But you're here to say, pump the brakes, Spurs fans. Well, Ty, time for you to shine. What is up with Poeltl? Why are you defending him? What do you have as far as the backup, what you're saying?
All right, so I'm not going to say that Poeltl has been perfect this season. He has not. He's not been his usual self. I will admit to that he's not been his usual self. But again, I yelled about this earlier. We're only into game 12. And actually, he's been showing much more improvement the past two games. So please calm down, first off. I know he's an offensive liability. He only scored 2 points last night, and he really hasn't been scoring much in general this season, averaging 4.3 points a game. I know. It's not a lot. You want to see more should probably be a starting center, but who's it coming off the bench? I know you want to see more scoring from him, but let's start on the offensive end. The man does a lot more on the offensive end than you really think. He does a lot more. There's a big screens that he does. Every Patty Mills shot that you see, the spacing usually comes because he's coming off a Poeltl screen. Poeltl gives a lot of guys space that they need for 3-point shots and for shots in general or get to the rim. Poeltl does a great job at setting screens and getting his teammates open in that chance. Additionally, I know that he's not Jokic, but he can still pass the ball, and he still has some really good passing vision, especially for a big man that doesn't do too much. So while he's not showing points on the box score, he's doing a lot more for the team offensively than you really think. And we've seen this from him before in previous seasons too, where he has been tremendous in terms of offensive rating, like 122, 133, 125 the past three seasons. I know he's only at 111 this season. I can't really pinpoint it, but still, he's doing a lot more for this team out there. And now let's go to defensive end. I know he's been pretty passive. There's one issue. This man gets called for a lot of BS fouls. Jeff, how many fouls have you seen from that have been called on Poeltl that results in a it's like he doesn't even touch him. And he gets a whistle.
Well, look, that's happened to a lot of players, not just Poeltl. I mean, look at Keldon Johnson. How many times does he go to the rim and gets hacked and no calls? But you're right, Poeltl.
So it's like with Poeltl, it's like he's being called for fouls that are non-existent.
Well, here's the thing, though, and you can understand where Spurs fans are coming from. You know, you admitted it. He hasn't been himself. When he goes 7 games straight without a block, well, I thought he was called Block a Poeltl. What's up with that?
And then I have a defense for this now, though. So I agree. Whenever Jakob Poeltl is not getting blocks, he is not his normal self. He and like you said, he went on for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, straight games without a block. And that was very not normal to me in terms of how I've seen Poeltl. But then you look at the past two games, he's had two blocks each, and that's great. That's what – whenever you start seeing him get those blocks, you know that he's beginning to get back on his role. He's beginning to come back to the normal Poeltl that we know him for in terms of the defensive effort that he brings. He still got six rebounds, four of them being offensive last night. So, and again, I know that you want – the energy on the rebounding hasn't been perfect, and I think there's a reason for that because this Spurs team loves to get back in transition since their transition defense has – been a little bit poor at least to start the season, so they've been getting back on transition, and he's not been going for some boards. Yeah, there's some boards where he just doesn't put some energy in. I've noticed that too. But again, against Houston, he had some nice little rebounds going out there, trying to volleyball them out. There was one, I know one buddy got pissed off for one rebound that he just hit it out. I was like, dude, he couldn't even get his other hand up because his other hand was being hooked by Boogie Cousins. So he had to volleyball that thing out of there. So you got to be a little vigilant, and you got to be aware of what is going on with Poeltl, that he's being held, that he's in the middle of a crowd. He can't really get the good space to jump up there.
You know, Ty, and I hear what you're saying. You know, he's on the bad end of some bad calls, and it's affecting his game, but. You realize it's compounded because he got a payday. It's compounded. Yeah, it's compounded because in the off season he was very vocal about how he wanted to be paid his worth, that he knows his value, and that he wants a bigger role. And so far, you know, if he chirps like that in the off season, then you got to back it up. And the Spurs did their part. They re-signed him. They gave him a nice little bump in pay. But he hasn't backed it up yet. He walked a lot. I mean, he talked a lot, but he hasn't walked the walk, though.
And the other reason is, I think, that doesn't help him, and we've seen him not help in previous seasons, of just his lack of consistency in terms of his minutes. His minutes tend to go all over the place, and it doesn't help that you just can't get into a consistent rhythm. Again, I know that he's not perfect. I know that I'm kind of saying a lot of stuff, and it sounds like I'm making a lot of excuses, but I'm trying to get everyone context for why Poeltl's kind of been playing the way he has.
But you hear yourself, though. You're having to create excuses for somebody.
It sounds like excuses, but yeah. It sounds like excuses from the outside, but you need to watch the tape of Poeltl. Again, I know he's not perfect, but there's also other context that you need to be aware of what's going on with his game. There's, again, like I said, there's times that he's getting held where he can't exactly grab a board because Boogie Cousin has his left arm hooked to his side. And then in terms of finishing, I know that everyone says dunk the ball. It's like, do you realize where he's coming from? The body's in front of him. Not every time. He can't dunk it every time. I know that he's had a lot more opportunities that he should dunk it, but mm-hmm. he can't dunk it every single time. And everyone kind of needs to kind of lax off of that a bit, because there's just some chances where his footing does not give him the opportunity to make a dunk. Again, I will say he needs to add some more energy on the floor. Whenever he does bring out the energy like he's done the past two games, he does really well and helps the team out tremendously, especially on the defensive end. But then we've seen times where he kind of does check out, where he's not getting the boards that he needs to get, and it's not helping the team. But if he starts bringing the energy like he has the past two games, I think he's going to be a much better player overall. He's not LaMarcus Aldridge. I'm sorry. I know everyone does not like that. He's not going to be a scorer for this team, and that should not be expected. I would like him to average around 10 points a game, but I know that's not going to happen. If he can start averaging around...
That ain't going to happen,
yeah. Yeah, if he can start averaging around 8 points a game and still do what he does off the ball and helping his teammates, that's what all you need him to do. You don't need him to do much else. And I know everyone says, oh, the backcourt, or is it the front court of this team is very lacking. It's the weakest links. Like, I know Jakob isn't the best, but there also needs to be some answers at the four. LaMarcus Aldridge has been horrid this season. I know he's had some bright spots, but geez, his inconsistencies have been hurting this team more than Jakob Poeltl has ever hurt this team.
Well, so, you know,
and it's the blame itself is going on Jakob because he just got the payday, because he's younger, because he's been talking. But I understand where some of it is deserved, but there are other bigger issues that should be getting more criticism than Jakob Poeltl.
That's where I disagree with you. Not necessarily in the sense that there's bigger issues, but the sense that issue is exactly the position he plays at, help in the paint. They're getting out rebounded almost daily now, and good for them. They're getting wins, you know, but maybe some of those losses could have been helpful if they got some rebounds, and they're not getting that. So their big man core, it's not just Jakob too. I mean, it's LMA, it's Trey Lyles, it's the rest of the bigs.
And Trey,
it's just at the position that he plays.
Yeah,
that's where the problem is right now. If you want to look for a problem for the Spurs, it's that.
Yeah, and it's in Jakob Pro's actually been fairly decent on the rebounding side in terms of his minutes, going 7, 7, 8, 7. You could kind of get the idea. I will say the disappointing one was that Minnesota loss where he only got one rebound. And then Oklahoma City, he surprisingly got 3 rebounds, but he still got 2 blocks and still was plus 10 on the board. But again, last night he got 6 boards, 4 of them being offensive rebound, which he doesn't get too many offensive boards. So seeing him get on the offensive glass, especially knowing how the Spurs like to focus on transition defense, that's kind of encouraging. Like I said, he's started getting back on his block streak. Once he gets on those block streaks, his confidence goes up. I think his aggressiveness goes up as a whole, and he looks like a better ball player overall.
Well,
and if people are going to be too busy looking at the box score and seeing, oh, he only scored 2 points, you know, he's 1 for 3. He's like, you got to look at the context of what else he does.
You know, and missing free throws doesn't help either.
I know
you're missing those free throws.
That's his way. His weakness, his major weakness, is his shooting in terms of outside of a mid-range shot that he doesn't even really even take one, and then his free throw shooting. Chip England does need to get to work with him on the free throw on the free throw shooting. I do say that.
That he does. Hey, but look, Porter will get another shot at Christian Wood again to slow him down, as Ty pointed out that he was doing a decent job with him in round one, so to speak. And the Spurs, hopefully they'll rebound from a loss to the Rockets. Ty, we're up against the clock here, but who you got? Spurs or Rockets tomorrow night?
I'm going to go with the Spurs. I think they learned from their lesson. I know that I still think that the Rockets are going to be shorthanded still, even if they do get John Wall back, because he only had knee soreness. I don't think Eric Gordon comes back. I don't think VO is going to be ready in time. They do have 2 other guys, Karuk, or I think mm-hmm. that's how you say it, Karuk, yeah, and Dante Exum. Yeah. Those are not really any game changers. I don't think they would be ready to join the team by that time to be effective. So do the Rockets get some players back? Yes, but the Spurs also now know how they play and should know how to dress them. I really hope that Jakob Pertl gets more minutes, but knowing how these rotations go, I don't see that happening. But I do think that the Spurs will now understand how to really attack this Rockets team.
Yeah, I'm right there. Yeah, I think the Spurs do rebound from the loss to Houston last night, and they get that W. And look, I think Pop probably lit a fire under them. They probably lit into them too. I think they'll come correct. And even in the loss to Houston yesterday, they were still in it, technically. They were still in it till the bitter end, until Houston just, well, I think, this is not an excuse. I'm trying not to make this excuse, Ty, but I think the Spurs lost the game versus Houston winning the game. The Spurs just simply weren't there mentally. And hopefully they'll bring that mental focus tomorrow night at the AT&T Center. Hey, but we're done talking. We want to hear from you. What do you think about the loss to Houston? What are your gripes? What are your bright spots, if any? And also, what do you think about Ty's defense of Jakob Pertl? See, you play more defense than Jakob did right now, Ty.
Wow. But all right, hold on. I gotta say something though. People saying I gotta go back to my defending. I know I'm a much better defender than Bryn Forbes and Marco Bellinelli ever were. People saying that DeJounte Murray didn't do enough. You are effing crazy. I know. I think I said this big game, but I've gotta repeat it. I know 10 points isn't tremendous scoring wise, but guess what? He did so much more out there on the floor, and you don't really need him scoring when you do have Keldon Johnson and Lonnie Walker going off. But for him to have 5 steals, 7 assists, and 8 rebounds at 5'10", at 6'5", that's tremendous. And I thought he did great stuff. He does a lot more for you all over the floor. He's an all-around type player. And even though he's not scoring, he's doing a whole lot more than you think that he's doing. So if you're hating on DeJounte Murray, you are a damn nitpicker, and you need to just stop. You're just looking for something to hate. Calm down and enjoy what this kid can actually do.
Thank you for
coming to my TED Talk. You can follow me on Twitter.
There you go. Yeah, follow Ty on Twitter, @TheTyJaeger. And don't forget to check out his podcast, At The Line Podcast, as well. As for me, you can follow me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone and go to the Spurs Zone News for San Antonio and Fox 29 San Antonio. Hopefully one day, Ty, will have a new fresh article on there because you know, we're keeping it warm for you, Ty. We're definitely keeping it warm for you. And, of course, subscribe to Locked On Spurs, wherever you get your favorite podcast, from Stitcher to iTunes to Spotify. Yeah, it's all there. You definitely need to check it out right now. Subscribe. Again, subscribe to all Locked On NBA podcasts as well as the rest of the Locked On NBA network. And don't forget about Wednesday's Locked On NBA podcast. You can join Jake Madison of the Locked On Pelicans podcast and John Corrales of Locked On Celtics for a look at the NBA of the week from all angles. So subscribe to Locked On NBA Podcast, wherever you get podcasts. So for Ty Yeager, I am Jeff Garcia, and we're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.